On air. Online. On Twitter.
Jennifer Campbell is always on.
Unfiltered, opinionated, and ready to speak her mind at a moment's notice.
This is the Jennifer Campbell Show on 570 News and Rogers TV, Cable 20.
No, there ain't nothing that I gotta prove. You think your words will make me black and blue, but I think I'm pretty with these old boots on. I think it's funny when I drink too much. You try and change me, you can go to hell. 'Cause I don't wanna be nobody else. I like the chip I got in my front teeth. And I got bad tattoos you won't believe. So kick out the jams, kick up the soul. Pour another glass of that rock and roll. Turn up the band, find the hole. Gonna lose control tonight. What do you want?
Good morning. It is 9:05, and we're so glad that you're joining us on Rogers Television. Hi, and right here on 570 News. You know, I've been a bad, bad girl. Polly, producer Polly, what is the biggest sin you can commit in a radio studio, especially a brand new one?
Especially a brand new one?
Yeah. What's the biggest sin? Can you see?
You're holding up a piece of paper.
Yeah, it's,
oh, did you spill coffee on something?
Thankfully, it was not coffee. It was water. But I have I have a bunch of problems now.
Do you need some paper towels or to have James print you up a new lineup?
Well,
can you read?
I've dried it out. I can read. What I'm mostly scared of is the engineering department. Who I have not alerted, you know, that I spilled some water in here. I avoided the equipment. I'm gonna sound pretty defensive about this. And I did clean it all up. But because my boyfriend, my partner is a radio engineer, and I get to hear the other side of his, you know, of the coin. I get to hear about his side. Why do you guys bring drinks in? I shouldn't do his voice like that. He won't like it. Why do you guys bring drinks in there? And then you spill something and you don't tell anyone. You never tell anyone. And then things are broken. And I can tell that you spilled something.
And then 6 months later, you get a little email saying the letter G doesn't work. It's because someone spilled coffee on the keyboard 6 months ago.
Let's hope I just screwed up the letter G and not, like, you know, any of this $1 million worth of stuff. I have no idea what any of it does, but I'm guessing it is imperative to the function of the program. Do you know what I'm saying? All these things under here.
Oh, I can hear you fine.
Okay.
So at least I know my headphones are still working.
Honest to God, you spill something in the radio studio, especially a gorgeous brand new one, which I'm very grateful to be in. I thought I was going to, I was nauseous about it for a couple seconds. And so now I think I have to tell the engineers I did it. They're going to get mad at me.
Well, if they're listening, they already know.
They don't listen, do they? They just complain when we ask them to fix something. anyway, it's all sopped up now. But that led to me. Oh, I do have more water, so that's good. Anyway, I just felt like I should confess that and get it off my chest. So if you've screwed something up already on this Wednesday morning, you are not alone, my friends. How's that drive for you guys out there? Oi, a bit of a nasty one with the snow still falling and falling just at the time where everybody needs to be and needs to get somewhere. And I know the 570 newsroom has mentioned it, but it is worth noting again that many of the school buses were about 20 minutes behind this morning. So if you are still waiting, they should be there for you. Okay, so what are we going to do? Oh, I love this article from The Record about the pinup arcade bar in Waterloo. It's an arcade that's going to take you back in time. And we're going to talk to the owner of the arcade coming up after 9:30. Polly, I picked this one at 9:45 specifically for you, producer Polly, because I knew it would drive you bonkers. Did you know that there's an internet debate happening right now about how to take eggs out of the carton? Big fight. Big fight on Twitter about that.
You take your thumb and your forefinger and you grab the egg and you lift it up.
It sounds very simple, doesn't it?
That's right.
Well, what is the proper way to unpack a carton of eggs? We're going to find out. And it was funny to me when we started talking about this morning at our sister station, how many different ways there are. And people are super passionate about their way. It's much like anything in life. You know, I did it my way. Is that how it goes? Something like that. Okay. Let us also get into this the story and debate around focusing around TVO's Steve Paikin and Sarah Thompson, who is a former Toronto mayoral, that's one word, rural and mayoral, will get, I don't know if I'll ever get them right. That's coming up at 9:15. Producer James is going to join us for that one. So we'll kind of update the story in case you haven't heard it yet, and then kind of get into, because, you know, I talked to James about this one this morning, too, and I said, I think this is, I'm more moderate on this one, because if we read the story the way it is told, if he Paikin said to her, you know, one time, I want to have sex with you, and she said no, I don't think that is sexual harassment, because there's no imbalance of power. She didn't work for him. He didn't work for her. They didn't work in the same place. If that's what happened, I don't think that is sexual harassment. And I know probably most of you are expecting me to say it is. But I don't think so. And I want to hear what you guys think on that one at *570 and at 519-570-2545. We'll get to that coming up in just about 8 minutes time. Let's start here, because there are few parenting issues that make us more anxious than what our children are doing on their devices. And we know that sexting is a big thing. And we know that it is something that is happening with young people. We know that it's something that's happening with people of every age. And this is an interesting conversation about sexting, shifting the focus from victim blaming to respect and consent. And we are joined by Matthew Johnson to talk about that this morning. He's the Director of Education for Canada's Centre for Digital and Media Literacy. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
Okay, so this is a big conversation. And when we talk about sexting, do we have an idea, I suppose, of first of all, what age this is starting with our youth, and how many of them are participating?
Well, we've done two studies that looked at sexting. One came out a couple of years ago, and that we started asking the sexting question there with 12-year-olds and went up to 17-year-olds. And at that point, we found that it didn't really start to happen in significant numbers until they were into high school, typically around 14 or 15. This most recent study, we surveyed youth between 16 and 20, and we found that about a quarter of the 16-year-olds had sent a sext, and that about half of the 20-year-olds had. So it does seem as though it's still happening in the early to mid-teens, but at slightly higher levels than it was happening a couple of years ago.
And how do we define a sext then? Does it always, I mean, what's the criteria on that? Is it a sexually suggestive message? Is it always attached with a photo? Or can it be one or the other independent of each other?
Well, this is a term that has been used in a number of different ways by scholars, and it's not really a term that youth themselves use necessarily. So what we asked about specifically was sending sexy, nude, or partly nude photos, and we focused on photos because really that's where the most potential for harm is when it's shared beyond the original recipient, and that's really what we wanted to focus on with this study, was not necessarily the sending and receiving, but what happens after a sext has been received, what influences the recipient's decision to share or not to share the sext they received.
So interesting that you mentioned that the young people, the teenagers, they don't even call it sexting. Is it that it's kind of so normalized and just a thing to them is there another name for it?
No, there are other names. It varies a lot from community to community. Sometimes you will hear the term sexting, but more often you'll hear just things like sending nudes, I think is probably the most common one among youth. Sometimes nude selfies or sexy selfies. It's just there's no universally agreed on term among youth around the world. In the same way that youth tend not to use the term cyberbullying to talk about what they're doing,
right.
But it's the term that we use in the research because people who do research like to have one agreed upon term so we can all be talking about
right.
the same thing.
Matthew Johnson is our guest, Director of Education, Canada's Centre for Digital and Media Literacy. Okay, so. It really interested to find that in reading through the material that boys and girls send sex at roughly the same rate.
That's right. And that does basically match our earlier research, that they send and receive them at similar rates. But what this really showed was that boys are sharing sex they receive at a significantly higher rate than girls are. So we found that of those youth who receive sex, and that's about two-thirds of the total sample, about half the boys had shared one, and only 4 in 10 girls had done so. So girls are still definitely sharing sex, but at a lower rate than boys are.
And you talk about how there is that there's undoubtedly more social disapproval of girls who are sending mm-hmm. sex.
Yeah, that's well established in research from around the world, and it's one of the reasons why we did really focus on the sharing of girls' sex. That's not to say that it can't be a terrible thing sometimes when a boy's sex is shared. There have certainly been some terrible cases where boys, especially boys who are gay or bi or questioning, have been blackmailed, for instance, over sex that they've sent. But in general, it is something that affects girls more strongly when their sex are shared beyond the original audience. And it really is tied into the same things that we found were associated with sharing sex, particularly views around gender and sexuality that have a strong relationship with whether or not someone is going to share a sex.
Also kind of terrifying and interesting to me as a mom, especially of three boys, was that if you in your home discourage and have conversations about cyberbullying, if you have rules in your home about treating people respectfully online and in life, that your children are less likely to do that. That rule didn't transfer. It had no effect on how likely youth were to share sex.
That's right, and that's one of the things that prompted this current study, because we found that in our past research, that having a household rule about most of these negative behaviors does have a relationship with whether or not youth engage in them. But there was this moral blind spot around sharing sex. So first of all, we wanted to see if this effect was consistent, and we found that it was. And we wanted to explore why it was. Why is it that talking about something being wrong, which has an influence in all of these other cases, doesn't have an influence when it came to sharing sex? And that's what led us to investigating, again, those gender attitudes, those traditional views about gender that we found were strongly associated with whether or not someone had shared sex. And it's also why we looked specifically at the idea of moral disengagement, those little excuses that we make to ourselves to justify doing something that we know is wrong. And what we found was that the youth who held traditionally stereotyped views on gender and the youth who were using these moral justification excuses were 5 times more likely to have shared a sext than those that did not strongly believe in these two things.
Wow. So I suppose then, I mean, selfishly, I'm thinking, like what's a parent to do? Is if you're a parent who's engaged and is telling your child, I will use your passwords, I will check into what you're doing, I will monitor your online behavior. Did that seem to dissuade anyone one way or the other?
Well, that's not something we looked at specifically in our research, but what's been found around the world is that that kind of really active monitoring has a limited influence on how kids behave. What it does affect is whether or not they come to you if they have a problem, because if they're mostly concerned with avoiding your surveillance, and if they're mostly worried that you'll find out that they've been avoiding your surveillance, then they're less likely to come to you for advice. And they're less likely to come to you if something goes wrong. And we know that's a huge problem for girls who've had their sex shared, that partly because they wrongly believe, mostly based on media accounts from the United States, that they might be prosecuted for sending a sext. Partly because, of course, they're afraid of just talking to their parents about it in general, which is understandable. A lot of times they don't come forward to seek help when these things get out of their control. And we know that even well-meaning educational programs sometimes can contribute to this, because they focus almost exclusively on getting people not to send sexts. And what that does is it contributes to the victim blaming that, first of all, prevents victims from seeking help, and also can even make it easier for those who are sharing sexts to tell themselves that they're not responsible for what happens, that it's the fault of the original sender. So we actually do have resources on our website, mediasmarts.ca, for parents and teachers to talk about this really difficult issue. We have a we have a tip sheet specifically about how to talk to your kids about sexting. And it does, of course, cover how to communicate to your kids that, you know, sending sex is not something you want to do at all, ideally, and it's something you want to make sure you've taken all possible steps to keep it safe. But it's also talking, more importantly, about sharing sex and explaining to them why it's wrong. Not just telling them that it's wrong, but directly confronting those attitudes around gender. The idea, for instance, that girls give up their right to withhold consent by sending a sext, or that it is a girl's fault when a sext that she sent to one person gets shared more publicly. And again, directly confronting those moral disengagement excuses and how really just neutralizing those and making sure that your kids understand that none of those things justify sharing a sext without someone's permission.
Matthew Johnson, Director of Education at Canada's Center for Digital and Media Literacy. Thank you for your time this morning, and thank you for your honesty in telling me I probably am not going to win if I spy on the kids. And also, thank you for the resources. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Have a good day.
Thanks. Bye.
Whew, so scary. It's so scary. I honestly, this is probably like something I shouldn't say out loud, but sometimes I think to myself, if I had known how terrified I would feel most of the time, I don't even know if I would have had children. I mean, I love them so much, but God, there's so much, right? And you just want to impart your kind of safety nets and your wisdom, and that yet you know that nothing you can do is going to save them from anything, really. I mean, you can teach them well, but they're going to make choices, and some of them are going to be bad. So scary. Were our parents this scared? Probably. Just about different things. Yeah. 9:23. Producer James joins us, and we continue the conversation we've been having here on 570 News about Steve Paikin, Sarah Thompson, and those allegations. That's next, right here, 570 News.
News travels quickly, but 570 News breaking news alerts travel even faster. Get the biggest stories sent right to your mobile device. Brought to you by Libro Credit Union. Own your life. Sign up today and get breaking news alerts from 570news.com.
So that's the hard part, though, isn't it? Because as a parent, I'm like overwhelmed with the desire to be nosy and spy on them. And I mean, I tell them, when you guys get your licenses, I'm going to have all the spy gear in the car so I can tell if you've been speeding, if you didn't wear your seatbelt, and so on and so forth. But as we just heard from Matthew Johnson, that just creates this sense that, you know, you're out to get them and they're not going to come to you honestly with issues and questions. And even yesterday, my son was on his tablet and he was in his room. And normally I make them kind of, you know, sit in an open area, the younger ones anyway. And I walked in, I said, what are you watching? He was just picking up some laundry from his room. And he said, he put it down really quickly. And I was like, oh gosh, what were you watching? He was watching kid videos on YouTube the time I had checked in with him before. So, and it turned out there was, he was watching a video and somebody in the video was smoking. And he was like, you know, it's because he knows that what is kid content and what is not kid content. He's pretty good that way. And he was like, sorry, mom, sorry. And so instead of, you know, because I wanted to say, I'll go look and see what you're watching all the time. But I didn't. I was like, listen, you have to make good choices. And if you have questions about what is a good choice or what's not a good choice, you can ask mommy and I'll help you. But that desperate kind of, I'll control this and I won't allow you to have a choice thing kind of kicked in. And I knew that probably wasn't my best way to deal. So anyway, I caught myself that time. I don't catch myself every time. Parenting's hard. Okay, so we're going to put Steve Paikin and Sarah Thompson after 9:45 because as per usual, I've run out of time, and we need to get to the newsroom next at 9:30. So coming up after the news, we are going to talk to the owner of Pinup Arcade Bar. There's a door in Waterloo that's going to take you back in time. It sounds like a whole lot of fun. And we'll chat with Chi Akirnu, who's the owner of the Pinup Arcade Bar. Pinup Arcade Bar, does that mean that they serve alcohol? Is this a place I need to take a cab to? I like this idea very much. And also, we are going to annoy producer Polly because we're going to have a fight about how to take eggs out of a carton. I know. It's riveting stuff, you guys. It's next on The Jennifer Campbell Show.
The power, the energy from a crowd. It's unmistakable. The ones who feel it the most. The Kitchener Rangers.
Busting down the middle. He scores! Up and out!
The Kitchener Rangers play here. 570 News.
Didn't we used to have a segment, Polly, on our other show called like Stupid Internet Fights or something? Did we just do that once in a while? We'd find an internet fight.
I don't remember that.
No?
Maybe.
Maybe it was a flop.
I know we talked about these internet fights, but I don't think we actually had like a segment like every week or anything.
We just do it when we found a really good one.
I think so, yeah.
So there is an online debate about how to best take eggs out of a carton. And it's so funny because I read it and I thought, what? Doesn't everybody take eggs out of the carton the same way? No. No, my friends. They do not. And then I thought, is this a good, like, will people want to talk about this? Will they want to kind of go along and play along in the car about the great egg carton debate? And no less than three of our coworkers have stopped me in the hallway because they saw the lineup today to tell me how they take their eggs out of the carton. This is in-depth stuff, you guys. Also, we're going to do some follow-up on the Steve Paikin, Sarah Thompson story. Yesterday, Farwell had a great discussion, and with that, James already told me the name of the person who he talked about it with. But anyway, producer James is going to join us for that because it hurts me, and I don't think this is going to help me too either. And that was kind of the gist of the conversation yesterday. So we'll talk about that with producer James coming up at 9:45. This is cool. Yesterday we talked to the new owners of the Baden Brewery. Always a cool place or a cool subject to have when we talk about local businesses, craft beers, something a little bit different perhaps than what you're used to. And following on that theme is a Waterloo arcade called Pinup Arcade Bar. That is an absolute blast from the past. And joining us this morning is the owner of the Pinup Arcade Bar, Chi Akirnu. Good morning to you, Chi. Am I saying your name right?
Chaker and you. Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
Excellent. All right. So what a great, great idea you have. So let's talk about, first of all, where this idea, actually tell us what the bar's kind of, unique selling features are, and then tell us where you came up with this plan.
Yeah, so it's themed around a classic arcade. So we have lots of pinball, lots of classic video games, stuff from like the 80s and 90s, and some just fun bar games like shuffleboard and skee ball, things like that.
And so when you say like those classic arcade games, I mean, like you can see in the picture from the record that, of course, you've got lots of pinball and so on. But there's like, you know, you're talking about Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter and all of those Nintendo classics and kind of stuff that perhaps many of us haven't played in 20 years.
Yeah, like Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr. and Popeye and all those kind of
Popeye!
Cool Nintendo games.
Okay, so now, and when I was reading through, so you pay $5 to come in, but all the games are on free play?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow! This is great! So that means you can come in, you pay the $5, you grab a beer or a cocktail, and you can kind of, you know, not have to go looking for change.
Yeah, it's a nice concept because it means everyone tries all the games. They're not sort of timid about walking up to a game and giving it a try. So you get lots of people who maybe haven't played pinball before, some younger people who've never actually seen a pinball machine.
Crazy.
And they aren't afraid to give it a try, which is really cool.
Okay, so how did your career come to this amazement? I mean, is this something, have you been in the restaurant or bar industry in your life, or more of a video game background, or how did this come to be the way you make money?
So I've lived in Waterloo for quite a while, and I went to university here and started bartending when I was in school back then, and so I've worked in the bar industry for a very long time. About 7 years ago, one of my business partners and I bought a bar in Guelph called Doogie's and Pablo's. And around 4 years ago, I started collecting pinball machines and my personal collection. And we kind of looked at the bar and thought it might be a kind of cool thing to try, is putting pinball machines in the bar. So we did that. And we added some video games, added some kind of cool little bar games, and people really liked it. It went over really well. And then, that kind of led to looking at Waterloo, and I've lived in Waterloo for 20 years, and I love the city, and thought it'd be very cool to try something here, so we're giving it a try, and it's going really well.
Did you just have to open the bar because you ran out of room for pinball machines and didn't want to give them up?
That definitely does happen to pinball collectors, and it absolutely happened to me. I thought I'd start out with a couple, and then I quickly turned to 10, and then 12, and then 20, and you kind of run out of space eventually, and you have to look for other places to put them.
So, okay, so where's the bar? Pinup Arcade Bar. Where do we find you?
We're at the corner of King University. So we're right across the street from Wilfrid Laurier. We're in the same plaza as Starbucks and Fratburger.
Oh, good placement, right?
Yeah, nice and close to the schools. Lots of parking. So there's a little bit for everyone. We get lots of young people who come who are kind of walking distance from where they live. And lots of people who are a little older like me who remember pinball and remember these games and want to come out and see them and play them again.
You got a lot of really good Ontario craft beers in there as well. Is it important to you to kind of focus on those local bevies?
Absolutely, yeah. So I have lots of friends and colleagues that work in the local breweries, and I like to support them.
It says in the article here that you mentioned that there are actually more companies making pinball machines now than there were 20 years ago.
Yeah, pinball's really surged. It's been, in the last like 5, 6, 7 years, it's really surged quite a bit. There's more and more collectors, and there's the pinball companies are doing much better than they were. Back in sort of around like 2000, most pinball companies had closed their doors, and there was only really one kind of major manufacturer left at that time. But it's kind of surged up in popularity now, and you really see it coming back.
Is it interesting to kind of, you know, sit at the bar and watch the patrons and the demographics that kind of come through?
It is. It's really kind of fun to watch, like, people come in because they remember it and they think it's really cool. And then all the kind of younger people for whom this is sort of a retro concept, and they see these things. And some of them, I've had people come in who've never seen a real pinball machine before.
So you got your, you know, the 19 and the 20-year-olds, the university students who are there because it's cool, it's new, and it's kind of a retro, funky thing. And then you have folks like us who you know, this is the stuff our youth was made of, and coming in to kind of relive some of that.
Yeah, and a lot of people who are kind of more our age who bring their kids out to see this because they spent their time in arcades when they were kids, and they want to show their kids what it looks like.
Do you? I got to tell you, Che Kearney was our guest, owner of the Pinup Arcade Bar. I got to say, I think the worst thing arcades ever did was start those stupid ticket things and those little crappy prizes. Because my kids aren't like, I always say to them, the fun is the game. The game is the fun. Like, you don't need to worry about those little vampire lips you're going to get. So please tell me you don't have one of those stupid ticket systems.
We do not.
Yes. So that's good to know too, that families can kind of come in and hang out and show their kids these retro games and have a beer and kind of go back in time with them.
Yeah, we open early every day. So we open at 4 o'clock so that people do have a chance to kind of bring the kids out before it turns into a bar later on in the night. And same thing on the weekends. We open at 11:30 on Saturdays and Sundays. So again, like, lots of families have been coming out, and that's been really cool to see.
I love the quote from you that fun doesn't have an age group.
Yeah, the one thing I really like is, regardless of whether this is new to people or if it's something they're nostalgic for, everybody has a smile on their face.
All right. So great. I can't wait to come up and check it out. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Not at all. Thank you, Jennifer.
That's Che Kearney, owner of the Pinup Arcade Bar. Doesn't that sound fun? Let's do that for a team building experience. I mean, it's, you know, it's better than a board game night because people get pissed off and flip the Monopoly board. You can't flip a pinball machine, Polly. That's all I'm saying. You know, that's where we should go and do that. Do you love pinball? I love pinball. I love pinball so much.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So I grew up in Midland, Penetanguishene, really close to many beaches. But in high school, the beach that we went to was Balm Beach. And it was like, it's like a smaller Wasega. Like, it's just smaller. It's mostly, you know, local people. And they have the best arcade. It is still there. It's been there for, God, 70 years, this arcade. It was a horse stable, you know, many, 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 many moons ago. And in there, you know, the food is good. They have a jukebox in there. And when we were growing up, there was a Wonder Woman pinball machine that I was just obsessed with. I just loved it. And so, I'd love to find that now. I'm sure it would go for the low, low price of $8,000. But this Wonder Woman pinball machine was like my life. Like, from 14 or 15 to 16. So cool. That sounds like a good time. Okay, so take a break. We come back. Going to find out how this debate has raged on for days about how you should take eggs out of a carton. And we're going to revisit the conversation about Steve Paik and TVO and Sarah Thompson and those harassment allegations. That's next. This is the Jennifer Campbell Show on 570 News.
You can watch dash cam videos from Russia all day, or put some actual news in your news feed. Click on 570news.com or go to your app store and download the 570 News app.
Thanks for coming back with us, 9:46. And producer James joins us in studio. You and I, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, no worries.
So you and I had this conversation earlier this morning. We were talking about the situation between Steve Paikin from TVO and Sarah Thompson, who is, she ran for the mayor of Toronto a few years ago. She runs this website called womenspost.ca. And various other businesses as well. So the story goes that Sarah Thompson wrote this post in the Women's Post. I had a little bit of trouble actually finding that website, but now I have found it. And she said that Steve Paikin, the host of TVO's The Agenda, in a meeting one time, asked if she would sleep with him. They're at a restaurant. It was a business meeting. She says she replied she would never do that and then excused herself to call her campaign manager. So this was during the mayoral run. And yesterday, you had an interesting guest on with Farwell, with Mike Farwell. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so at the University of Waterloo, there is a women's studies program that that they have, and one of the associate professors, Shannon Day, came on to chat with us about this, whether or not, or to see where we're at when it comes to the Me Too movement.
Mm-hmm.
So she did mention to us that there are some, not concerning, but we've seen some backlash when it comes to the Me Too movement with the Steve Paikin thing right now, and with Aziz Ansari as well, one of the actors that was accused of it. And it wasn't to not believe anyone coming forward. It was mm-hmm. just to say that there was only one person that made these accusations, and they said that there was going to be many, many, many more, and we didn't hear
anything. And we didn't hear anything more,
right.
Yeah. And if you want to join this conversation, please do call us at *570 or at 519-570-2545. So now, Paikin has responded. He says that these are 100% false. He did not suggest, request, imply, or joke about having sex with Sarah Thompson. And I'll tell you, honestly, and again, I'll preface it with, I believe survivors. When they disclose assault, sexual harassment, but in the exchange that she talks about, Sarah Thompson, she says they're out for lunch. It's she's running for mayor. He works at TVO. He says, "Will you have sex with me?" She says, "No." I mean, that in and of itself, to me, would it be, kind of in bad taste? Maybe.
Definitely.
Definitely in bad
yeah.
taste. You know,
yeah.
It's like a business lunch.
Right. And I wouldn't expect anyone who's in a business lunch to make that proposition there.
Of course.
Because that's the entirely wrong place to do that.
But I don't think that's sexual harassment, because she didn't work for him. He didn't work for her. There's no imbalance of power. There's no, her saying, "Gosh, what do I do with this? If I reject this, is it going to affect my career image in a bad way?" She does go on to say that she says Steve Paikin has continued to approach her on several different occasions at political functions with the same proposition. And he says that she's defaming him. So we wait, I suppose, to find out more like that. She has been contacted and said has not returned phone calls in the wake of him, Steve Paikin, responding. I think that the line is movable, isn't it? That's the problem here, or that's the confusion, and that's the complication in this whole thing.
And I think that the turning point with this story was that as soon as these accusations were made, Steve Paikin went directly to his superiors and said, "Look, here's this email that I received, and here's what's going on. Here's my side of the things. If you want to launch an investigation, that's completely up to you. I'll answer any questions you have when it comes to these allegations." And he did answer those questions, because it was his own company that broke the story, and his executives had some questions, so he answered them. And I think with them, they're launching a third-party investigation to kind of see where this whole thing stands, if it has any weight to it. Not that they don't, again, believe these mm-hmm. accusations, mm-hmm. it's just they want to be as transparent as they possibly can. And I think leaving him on the air at TVO just shows that they're willing to fully investigate an issue before they judge him, or before they find him guilty in the court of public opinion, as we mentioned with this whole thing with Patrick Brown too. I mean, just look at that, how that turned out for him, that there were a few accusations made, and then the whole thing erupted when it comes to Patrick Brown's case.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the difference there too is that nobody seemed very surprised.
Right.
That phrase
yeah.
"open secret" has yep. been tossed around by his own party, by the opposition, by the reporters. I told you that I had contact with a bartender in Barrie. Mm-hmm. I used to work with, you know, years ago. And because he's not been charged with anything.
Right.
I mean, we don't need to presume innocence. He's not been charged with anything. But the thing is, public opinion does matter, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
And that's
where the difference is with Steve Paikin and Patrick Brown, is that Steve Paikin got that email. He sent it directly to his superiors and sat in a room with them and basically said, ask me anything you want and I will answer it as honestly as I can.
He's being pretty transparent.
Pretty transparent, yeah.
She says, Sarah Thompson, that there was, because I'm placed my support firmly on the side of Time's Up and Me Too. I hesitate to say, you know, well, where's this assistant? She says that there was an assistant at the table when this happened and that assistant remembers the conversation well. She also says, my gut tells me we'll need to gather a few other women who've shared a similar experience in order for this to be taken seriously. And I mean, that it might be crappy, but I think that you might. That's where we're at right now. But if, I mean, I would ask about who is the assistant? Where is the assistant? Has the assistant lended their voice to verify the story?
And I think that's where this third party investigation is going to find that out, if that is what happened and if that is the story that that assistant will tell, and if there's more accusations to be made. I certainly haven't heard of any more accusations being made against Steve Paikin, and his response to these accusations made it pretty clear that Sarah Thompson is kind of fishing for anything right now.
So we wait, we see. But again, that my point there was, if that initial, even if I am saying, yes, I believe her, and I believe women, I don't think at a lunch, I think, again, it was inappropriate if that's
Absolutely.
How it went down.
100%, yeah.
But for him to say, hey, do you want to have sex with me later? Yeah, was it inappropriate? Would it be a stupid thing to say? Sure. Is it harassment? I don't think so. There's no imbalance there of power, unless he said, hey, if you want to get on my show.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
It all depends on this investigation right now, because we don't know if he said, hey, if you want to be on my show, this is what you have to do. So whatever that investigation reveals, it is going to tell the entire story of what happened.
I would assume that if she was going to call him out, if that's what he had said, that she would have said that. Do you know what I mean? She's pretty clear with what he said, will you have sex with me? So, okay, so that we will watch. Producer Polly, get over here, because producer James and I picked this specifically for you. Did you know, you guys, that there are a lot of ways to take an egg out of a carton?
No, there's not.
Okay, Polly, how do you do it?
I take my thumb and my forefinger, and I lift the egg out of the carton.
So does it matter which position the egg was in? Like, do you just all willy-nilly take from the middle, take from the left, take from the right? Or how do you pluck it out? Which egg, when you're going in, are you taking out?
Usually, that's a good question. I don't know if I really kind of have like a hard set rule on that.
Okay. Well, some people are all crazy, just willy-nilly. They just pluck them from the middle. Start, even if it's a full dozen, they'll just take one out of the middle. And then the people who say...
I think that's me. I think I'm more likely to start in the middle than on the edge, yeah.
Okay. We had some people that... Because I think, like, what are we, savages? We are in the West. We do left to right. That's what we do. Left to right.
Okay.
Left to right. And then I go, like, top left to right, and then bottom left to right.
I do in the north south.
You do like up down up down up down up down up down. Up, down, up, down. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. See, that may I can accept that one. I just can't accept the one where you open it and just grab an egg out of the middle. That's crazy to me.
I would fix it if someone in my house grabbed one right in the middle.
Yes.
I would move an egg over that to that empty spot, because I don't know. I might have OCD. I don't know.
You're my people. You're my people, James. And then there were people who go right to left.
I don't know why. Are they American?
The debate rages. It does look, and some people start in the center and then work their way out. They say that's better for balance. I mean, I can almost get behind that method, too.
I just pick whatever egg I'm looking at.
And does Marnie approve of your like chaotic egg cartons?
We've never talked about it.
Oh, good. When Polly gets home tonight, she's going to go, Campbell, about Campbell and that egg carton thing. There's new rules. Left to right, obviously. Have we no decorum left to right, or even James's way? I'm down with that one too. It is 9:58. Farwell is on the way next. Thanks for this Wednesday. We'll talk to you coming up again tomorrow morning.